come to our meeting this morning and welcome the Deputy DC from the Department of Energy and members of the public who are present here today. I'm going to be receiving a presentation on the five international agreements that were referred to us on the 5th of August. I want to suggest that at this point we receive apologies from the Secretary, and then have a tea break. I think one does need to have some coffee this morning.
And when we reconvene,
we're getting apologies.
Thank you, Chair. Just the following apologies. This is Michael Bemashele, who's on sick leave. Mr. Makili Matlabini, who's attending a portfolio committee on public works meeting, which is happening now as well. And then Mr. Matala, who's running for it, but we'll be joining us here.
Welcome back from the city. I do see very few people did take the ship. We will now get a presentation from the Department of Energy and welcome to the Minister of Energy. I don't know if the Minister would want to say something before we get the presentation from Mr. Mambo. But let me just clarify certain matters with regard to what we said before now. Some members could remember that on the 11th of June 2005, the Minister of Energy tabled here in Parliament five international agreements in terms of Section 231(3) of the Constitution of the Republic. And these two framework agreements were five countries. And in terms of this table, section 231(3). These agreements have been tabled for Parliament for information. So from the time they were tabled to Parliament on the 11th of June, we didn't do anything with regard to the agreement because they had not been referred to the committee. On the 5th of August, the Speaker of the National Assembly referred the agreements to the committee. And it's important to note that the referrals for consideration but not for reporting to the National Assembly. So it means that we will receive a presentation on this agreement. We will not be required to prepare a report for consideration of the National Assembly. Because these agreements were tabled to Parliament for information. So I don't want to go through section 231(3). I'm sure honourable members will support through that was the tabling of that. But at the end of the presentation, we don't need to the committee say what we're saying about these agreements and the presentation. And I said that after that meeting, after I listened to the presentation, and this should be a fairly straightforward presentation because we are just going to be informed about what is contained in the different and on the basis of that, the honourable members will ask their questions, and then we will agree on how to deal with this agreement and the ongoing proposal for procurement in this Parliament. Something that's still going to have to be minimum posted. So that's so I want to suggest that we get the presentation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if the Minister of Energy has anything to say before we start the presentation, Honorable Mackay.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, obviously there's a contentious issue of the tabling of these framework agreements. And we are aware that there are some views for legal challenge on the basis of them being tabled in Berkeley. Obviously the way that they table affects the way that they come to Parliament and where this committee works on the reports and makes a recommendation to Parliament or as opposed to us just noting for information. Are you in possession of a document from the State Legal Advisor which suggests that these are correctly tabled and have in fact been tabled correctly, noting that they may be subject to some kind of judicial review these have in fact been tabled incorrectly?
We didn't ask for a legal opinion with regard to whether or not this agreement has been tabled to court. We are in possession of a legal opinion that deals with what should the committee do when the agreement is tabled in terms of this section of the Constitution. So if there's going to be a legal challenge, I'm sure you appreciate it. It's something we didn't want to go into now. The Parliamentary Legal Services didn't say to us that they are of the opinion that the agreement is incorrectly tabled. contentious issue. And the contentious issue is the fact that if these agreements are going to be have financial implications for the country, then it cannot just be tabled as administrative factor in terms of section 231.3. The explanation has been that at this point the agreements do not bind the country to anything, and therefore hence the table in terms of 231.3. I would want to assume that at some point during the process there would be an agreement or agreement entered into that would expose the country to financial implications. And I think at that point that if any agreement has got to be tabled to Parliament, then it would have to be tabled in terms of section, subsection 2. I must repeat, we didn't ask legal services for a legal opinion with regard to the correctness or otherwise of the case. We asked, what should we do when an agreement, disagreement that they want in terms of section 231.3. And that legal opinion we got. So, Honorable Makai, if there are going to be issues with regard to whether the tabling was correct or not, I think we should leave that to processes outside of this committee. At this point in time, this is how the tabling has been done. And the Speaker of the House has requested the agreement to us to understand that they've been collected in terms of substitution.
Thank you, Chairperson. That was exactly the explanation we received, that indeed, as the agreement are now, they are the overarching agreement. And I think to just put it in short and plain and simple English, there is no deal signed with anybody. So all the agreements are subject to the laws of the Republic of South Africa. And you'll notice that the agreement which was most contentious, which is Russian one, that stipulates in one of the clauses that is subject to the laws of our country. Honorable Chairperson, we would want these agreements to be scrutinized and exposed to public scrutiny and have as much comment and participation from the public as possible. So we appreciate and welcome the opportunity for the agreements to be discussed and request that members, honorable members, appreciate that the timing of when we release certain documents is very important. If we are engaged in a procurement phase, we started the procurement of gas. We issued a request for information, which means we have started the procurement process for gas. So if I started the procurement process for gas, then there's certain, this is what I was saying, a liable informed that there's information that we can make public at a particular stage because we await the input from the private sector. So at some stage, we will have to understand how it is with the members wanting information. I am prepared to give members information, but if there's sensitivities around commercial decisions we have to take, I have to then either brief the members in a committee or not brief the members. And again, I'm committed to transparency and will ensure that throughout the gas, coal, solar and wind IPPs, we are as transparent as possible. We are committed to a thorough cost-benefit analysis of the nuclear power as well. And the cost-benefit analysis is part of the procurement process. So we are not going to compromise our country in any way. It is important that we not allow ourselves to be bamboozled either by technical jargon or by race. And I cannot be responding to assertions that it's going to be 2 years and it's going to cost us 1 trillion. I don't know where the speaker came from. Certainly not from us. Once we've completed the funding model agreed to the portfolio committee, we're discussing funding model with the Department of Treasury. They are driving the process of the funding model. That funding model will be taken to talent and once it is approved by cabinet, it will be brought to the committee. We have to clarify the status of the update to the IOP. When we have the updated IOP, we'll have that to cabinet and put it into the committee as well. Again, in the agreement, we are very, very clear that nuclear energy can only be procured in line with the legal prescripts of a country and foster a thorough on affordability in the space. The IAEA reports have been scrutinized. We'll be interacting, as I told members in the past, we'll be interacting with the IAEA. And again, as I committed myself to the Parliament, whatever recommendations the IAEA presents, I will be for the committee. The support for NECA, NR, the National Radio Active Waste Disposal Institute has been developed. There are weaknesses at NECSA, there are weaknesses at NR, and we are addressing those weaknesses. When the committee has done, Honorable Chair will be able to bring you those interventions that we are putting in place at those meetings. Our immediate response to our energy challenge fell out in our attempts to develop a gas platform for our economy. And we will provide our country with a platform to develop that platform for gas, for the gas industry. As part of our commitments in the National Development Plan, likewise, the transparent and direct cost benefit analysis also call for the National Development Plan. That is what we do. We committed ourselves to do. So we will provide our country with the opportunity to develop new industries, but also grow the industry in India. We do have the capacity to grow the nuclear industry. And we know that's a long-term solution for our country's energy needs. We developing strong partnerships between the state and the private sector. The gas ICT is one again an indication of private sector responding to government's requests for information as well as opportunity for proposals. On our side, we will create an enabling environment for the nuclear as well as other energy sources. We reiterate and we say this, I reiterate the fact, President said this, he said this, I've said this, we will diversify our energy source, our energy supply, we diversify our power supply. We recognize that the regulatory environment and the laws currently for nuclear energy has to be scrutinized and we have a legal team looking at the laws currently governing the nuclear space in our country. I hope that gives some response or gives some answers to the questions and certainly there's never been given figures of R1 trillion, R1.1 trillion, figures. But as the current model develops, we'll be able to give you a better indication of the cost of the analysis. Thank you.
Thanks very much. We will get a good presentation. We welcome the fact that you say that you want to be totally transparent during the process. And that you want the agreement to be thoroughly scrutinized. I do know that in the past, in this committee, we did indicate that we have every intention to ensure that we can have a proper discussion with regard to this proposed new building program and the procurement process. So I do want to urge that there should be comfort that we have a proper discussion on these matters. So as we discuss, we mustn't fall into the trap of doing two extreme things. One is to not to have a discussion on these matters relating to nuclear because one happened to disagree with nuclear. And therefore you don't want discussion to happen. That's the one extreme. I think we must allow the process. The other thing is we don't want, as Parliament, to have a discussion that is merely a formality that can impact on the process. So we want to have a discussion and have a genuine discussion that if there are issues that arise that we think are maybe pose difficulties for the country, we have to be taken seriously. So I think that we should allow that to go through the process properly. And not put the cart before the horse, go step by step. As we deal with the agreement, scrutinize the agreement properly, dispense with that. So, as the department that I know, things that we're doing, including the financing model that we're working on, must be brought in so that we can have proper discussion. So, I guess at some point, there would be an agreement or agreement entered to that binds the country into a particular process. And that one, they would have to be brought to Parliament. All I'm saying is, let's not put the cart before the horse, because we disagree, so we want to win the battle by default, by showing that we're not having a discussion. Or the other thing is, just tell Parliament to talk, but we're going ahead, so irrespective of what they say, we can't do either of those. So let's go through the process. Let's go through the process. Let superior ideas prevail on this question. Here in Parliament and in public, let's deal with these matters thoroughly in the interest of the country.
My apologies, Jefferson. Because we practically were a little pressed for time, we have concluded some of the agreements, but some two agreements are still outstanding. So it's not because we don't want to bring them, but we haven't finalized them. We developed an agreement with Canada and with Japan. So when we table the agreement from Canada and Japan and you want to table it in a different format, we are prepared to table it until we are all happy that the integrity of the process is guaranteed. So we're not going to be rushing anyway, unless I'm confident that this process could stand the scrutiny of any legal investigation. So the integrity of the process will be protected. But then again, says that the information which on the commercial side and the safety which is decided, I would then request when the members allow me to initiate table as classified documents. which will do correctly. So we have a legal opinion that it would present certain documents as classified before it is declassified at the correct time. So with that, Jefferson, I'll allow Mbambo to do the presentation.
No, definitely, Minister, I do need to say that we do recognize that there may be information that may be difficult to handle. We do know what we need to do when one of our members are going to deal with that information that may be sensitive, confidential, in the interest of the country that information be treated in a particular way. But that will be brought to Parliament and they will be tenant of dealing with that so that honourable members are comfortable that every information that is available is brought before them.
I hope that the honourable members are valuable to read this pardon.
Honourable members.
Thank you, honourable Minister, honourable Chairperson, honourable members of the committee, members of the public, colleagues, good morning, and all protocol observed. I will take you through the presentation of the intergovernmental agreements that have been signed with various countries. We will deal with the background on nuclear use in South Africa, deal with the policy that governs the nuclear energy in the country, and deal specifically with the intergovernmental agreement. As members may be aware, South Africa is the only country in Africa that's got an operating nuclear power station. The name of the nuclear power station is Quebec. Our station, it's got a capacity of 1.8 gigawatts. It became operational in 1986. After that, in 1998, government promulgated the National Energy White Paper. And the White Paper presented the different energy technologies that the country would pursue going forward, and it retained nuclear as an option that needed to be further investigated and be rolled out in line with the integrated resource plan. Then in 2006, ESCOM, which is our electricity utility, started the procurement and the fighting of the new nuclear power plant. There was a bidding process that was undertaken, and then that bidding process was stopped in 2008 due to financial constraints and the global financial meltdown. Then in 2008, Parliament endorsed the nuclear energy policy, which undergone an extensive public consultation. With a view to ensure that input from stakeholders were incorporated into the nuclear energy policy. The policy basically provides the government framework and the vision that government would pursue in expansion of the nuclear technology for social development and for peaceful purposes. In 2011, the integrated resource plan for 2010-2030 was announced by cabinet. The plan stipulates that 9.6 gigawatts of nuclear power will be rolled out by 2030, with the first nuclear power plant being commissioned in 2023. In addition, the nuclear energy policy provides the National Nuclear Energy Executive Coordination Committee, which is a ministerial executive committee, to provide oversight and monitor the implementation of the nuclear energy policy. This committee has now been reconfigured. It is now called the Energy Security Cabinet Subcommittee to provide the strategic direction and the monitoring of the entire energy mix. Then in 2013, 12, the National Development Plan for 2030 was endorsed by government. Where is it recognized that Ethiopia forms part of the energy mix? However, it directed that a detailed investigation will need to be undertaken before a final decision is taken. In addition, a phased decision-making approach to the nuclear program was endorsed by government in 2012. That's a method that was approved by cabinet wherein decisions will be taken in a phased manner to assess the cost, the risk, to look to the risk associated with the schedule and all other issues taken into account. And that's the point that the Honourable Minister has just emphasized, that we are now at a stage where we are looking into the development of the funding model to make sure that when decisions are made on the program, they've been informed by technical information that supports the rollout of the nuclear impact. In 2012, South Africa Commission, in 2013, South Africa completed the integrated nuclear infrastructure review mission, wherein South Africa voluntarily invited the International Atomic Energy Agency to come and assess the state of readiness of our nuclear infrastructure before we start a phase of our procurement. The report has been completed, and the report will be made public. We receive recommendations and action plans that we are implementing as the department to make sure that we address all the issues that were raised in respect to this report. The Department of Energy was then designated as the procuring agent for this nuclear development program in 2013. In 2014, we've completed the Emergency Preparedness Review Mission, where we invited the International Atomic Energy Agency to also assist and assess the state of readiness of our emergency infrastructure. We've undertaken the study, and we are now at the stage where the action plan has been implemented. In addition to that, the National Radioactive Waste Disposal Institute was launched by the minister, which is an institute that's going to be responsible for the management of radioactive waste on a national basis. The State of the Nation stated that the nuclear we did contribute more than 9 gigawatts to the electricity mix. And then in 2014, in preparation for the procurement, South Africa signed intergovernmental agreements with Russia, with Russian Federation, France, People's Republic of China. We had already agreements in place with the United States of America and Korea. And as the minister has indicated, discussions are at an advanced stage to also conclude intergovernmental agreements with Canada and Japan. Having completed this, then we invited these prospective vendor countries to what we call the vendor barriers, wherein they bring in their different companies to demonstrate to South Africa the capability of rolling out a new kind of build. This was a process that was attended by up to 80 South African nuclear professionals, wherein they interrogated the prospective vendor countries with regards to what they indicate would be their capacity to implement the program. The process was then completed in March this year with the countries Japan and Canada. In that regard, then the department has completed the pre-procurement phase activities for the nuclear new build. Then the minister announced in parliament that South Africa will commence the procurement process in the second quarter of this financial year. and it is expected that we'll finalize the procurement process and select a strategy partner or strategy partner by the end of this year. When it comes to the nuclear energy policy, it's important to highlight that the South African vision for nuclear power is based on the nuclear energy policy of 2008. That provides the framework within which the processing, the milling, the mining, the use of nuclear materials, and the development and the utilization of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes is to be undertaken. It's important to also highlight what are the key government strategic objectives for the nuclear rebuild, and these are highlighted. One is the attainment of a global leadership and self-sufficient in the nuclear energy sector in the long run. This is a very important strategic objective of government, because as government wants to expand the nuclear business in a coordinated manner and participate into the full value of the nuclear program. So when government, the government is looking to put a nuclear program, which is much more complex and much more wider than merely procuring a nuclear power plant. So nuclear power plants are part of the nuclear program, but there's much more activities that government intends to leverage on through the program. And that is the real transition of South Africa for a nuclear movement. And so when we are dealing with the prospective vendor countries, we are engaging them with a view to achieve the South African strategic goal of being self-sufficient and real sovereign South Africa. And the next objective of government is the contribution to the country's national program of social and economic transformation, growth and development. It's very important to highlight this, that nuclear will contribute to the government's program for economic growth and development. Then the next one is the improvement of the quality of life and to support the advancement of science and technology. As honorable members may be aware, most of the advanced countries in the world, they are using nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. And that's the strategic objective where the government wants to expand the nuclear movement to be able to advance science and technology in the country. The promotion of nuclear energy as an important electricity supply option through the establishment of a national industrial capability for the design, manufacture, and the construction of nuclear energy systems. That are very important strategic objectives, because as the honorable members are engaging in this intergovernmental agreement, the need to make sure that we measure the content of the agreement against what the government's objectives are for the nuclear nuclear program. And they should be assisting South Africa to achieve the strategic goal of nationalization for the nuclear movement. Then, on the intergovernmental agreement, the intergovernmental agreement has been signed, honorable members, with vendor countries that have shown interest to participate in the South African nuclear movement. That's very important. It is a process where the prospective vendor countries show their interest, they would like to participate in the nuclear movement. And the extent to which each of these countries is willing, is able, and their interest and their capability to support South Africa to achieve its strategic goal of self-sufficient is reflected in the scope of the agreement that they propose for South Africa. These are the countries that South Africa has signed an intergovernmental agreement with. I'm not going to see them, I've already mentioned them. The agreement has been presented to cabinet for discussion. And these agreements, what basically they do, they lay out a foundation for cooperation trade and exchange of nuclear technology as well as procurement. They also describe the broad areas of nuclear cooperation, and they differ on the emphasis based on the unique needs and the interests and the capacity of each country to cooperate with South Africa. And in this agreement, they also describe the rules of engagement between South Africa and the prospective vendor countries. When we look into these agreements, they cover the following areas that are necessary for South Africa to achieve its strategic vision of participating into the entire nuclear value chain. The areas that are covered broadly is nuclear power plant technology and construction. The multi-purpose reactor technology and construction, the financing and the commercial efforts, the manufacturing, the industrialization, and the localization, human resource and skills development, public awareness and information centers, safety, liability, and licensing. The nuclear fuel site is addressed taking into account both the front end and the back end of the nuclear fuel site. The nuclear fighting and permitting is also addressed. The non-proliferation letters are addressed in this agreement. I think it is also very important to emphasize that South Africa is a member state to the International Atomic Energy Agency. And if a function of the nuclear program, we are taking guidance from the International Atomic Energy as a member state, and we have signed into the non-proliferation treaty, where the South Africa committed to use the nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. And in addition, we signed the safeguards agreement when it allows the Atomic Energy Agency to come into South Africa to monitor how South Africa is progressing in terms of its nuclear new build program. All the existing and the new program. Honourable members, we then summarize the context of the agreement. And what is important is that we took a summary which deals with the scope of what each of these prospective vendor countries indicate in their interest to cooperate with South Africa. I'm going to go through the summary. In terms of the Russian Federation, they indicate their interest in the design, the construction, the operation, and the decommissioning of the nuclear power plants based on their technology, the VVER, that we then to the capacity of the 9.6 gigawatts, and also the area of cooperation first with the design, the construction, the operation, and the decommissioning of the multi-purpose research reactor in the Republic of Africa. Whilst when we're looking into France also cooperates with South Africa in the area of fundamental and allied research and development in the field of energy, but not including the supply of a research reactor of the uranium enriched to 20% or more in the uranium 235 isotope. The use of nuclear energy for electricity generation, including the design and construction, that's also the area of cooperation with France. With regards to China, the exchange of experience, personnel training, site evaluation and selection, localization, project planning and project management, consultancy, and the enhancement of infrastructure development in South Africa. While looking into the South Korea, the area of cooperation covers the use of nuclear energy for electricity generation, heating and desalination of salt water, and nuclear research, exploration and mining of uranium, fuel manufacture for commercial and research reactor, including fuel development and design, construction, operation, technology, and modernization of the fuel fabrication facilities. With respect to the U.S., the areas of cooperation involve the development, the design, the construction, the operation, the maintenance, and the use of reactors, Thermonuclear experiment. The use of materials in the physical and biological research, medicine, agriculture, and industry. Going forward with the areas of cooperation, cover with regards to the Russian Federation, the development of joint business in the field of radioisotopes, manufacturing and global marketing, including the involvement of multi-purpose research reactor facilities planned for construction in the Republic of South Africa, whilst funds areas of cooperation cover the operation and commissioning of nuclear power plant in the Republic of South Africa with a total installed capacity of 9.6 gigawatts, fabrication of nuclear fuel, nuclear fan fuel and radioactive waste management, the nuclear safety, radiation protection, and radiological environmental protection. And as we go on other areas, other countries also, you could see, honorable members, that there are similarities with regards to the areas of cooperation as proposed by these countries, depending on their capacity of their own programs, as well as the interest in which you then cooperate with South Africa. For instance, when we look to China, that's cooperating in the area of fundamental research, design, engineering, investment, and financing, construction, operation, maintenance, and this, when you look at it, it's repeat of what other countries have also expressed as areas of interest to cooperate with South Africa. While looking to South Korea, the use of energy for electricity generation, and this dominant in all of these countries, because we are looking for nuclear technology to generate electricity over and above the program. The U.S. fuel cycle studies of ways to meet the future world's nuclear needs, including the multilateral approaches to guarantee nuclear fuel supply and the appropriate mix for management of waste, safeguard and physical protection. Russia, the enhancement and implementation of the program of the development of South African human resource for work at nuclear facilities, including nuclear power plant in the Republic of South Africa, was funds cooperating with South Africa in the area of accounting and physical protection of nuclear material, manufacturing and application of radioisotopes, radiation technology, and its application control, nuclear fusion, plasma physics and plasma technology, and the exchange of information in the field of spectral regulation. Similarly with South Korea, cooperating with South Africa in the area of radioactive waste management, development, manufacturing, and supply of components and the material, including nuclear material and source material, and fissionable materials used in the nuclear reactor and the reactor segments, including the nuclear safety. While looking into the scope of area of cooperation with the U.S., health, safety, and environmental consideration related to the area that we've highlighted for the nuclear fuel cycle. The Russian Federation area of cooperation is the support and enhancement of the regulatory framework in the field of nuclear and radiation safety in South Africa, development of relevant systems, strengthening of nuclear radiation safety systems in the field of peaceful use of nuclear technology in the Republic of South Africa, whilst France cooperate with South Africa in the decommissioning of nuclear technology as outlined in the areas where in France would cooperate with South Africa. South Korea, these are areas of cooperation, radiation protection, geological environment protection and accounting and control and physical protection of nuclear material manufacturing. We've discussed the issues of also cooperation in radioisotopes. The Russian Federation also proposes to cooperate with South Africa to assist in the integration of the developed nuclear joint manufacturing capacities and capabilities in the supply chain, as well as the joint marketing and the promotion of produced products to the third country's market. France cooperated with South Africa in the area of control, physical protection of nuclear materials and the manufacturing of components. We've already covered the area of cooperation in the radioisotope business. With regards to the South Korea, assist South Africa in the state generation of nuclear and radiation safety, decommissioning and decontamination of nuclear facilities, and any other areas that may be agreed to between the parties. This is a very important area, honorable members, because all of these agreements, when you engage with them, you will find that they allow an area of further operation, depending on the interest of the various prospective fellow countries. With regard to the Russian Federation, also expressed the cooperation in the localization and manufacture of components for nuclear power plants in South Africa, assist South Africa in the integration of the developed nuclear programs and access to the international markets in the different third world markets. We've covered this. In terms of the funds, it's the exchange of information, education, regulation of nuclear fuel decommissioning, and this now covers areas that we have already identified. South Korea, cooperation in the area of radioactive waste management, as well as the nuclear fuel cycle. Russia proposes to cooperate with South Africa in the enhancement of security and assurance of physical protection of nuclear facilities in South Africa, strengthening and adaptation of nuclear and radiological emergency response system in the Republic of South Africa, whilst the South Korea is the cooperation in the area of accounting and the control of control and the physical protection of nuclear material, as well as cooperation in the area of radioisotope businesses, plasma physics, and plasma technology. Continuing with the area of cooperation, Russia cooperates with South Africa in the area of radioactive waste management, rendering of nuclear fuel safety front end services to secure the needs of the new units of nuclear power plants to be built in South Africa, including the accession of the extension of the status of African organization to the International Uranium Enrichment Center. We've covered the areas around cooperation with South Korea in terms of control of nuclear material. What I remember, this is an area that we've now dealt with. As honorable members would noted, these are broad areas of cooperation that we have summarized when each of these prospective vendor countries expressed the interest to cooperate with South Africa into this area. It's important to also note that these countries negotiate uniquely with South Africa on a government-to-government negotiation, and they each express different interests based on their capacity to participate in South Africa, based on their interest and the willingness to support South Africa to achieve the strategic goal of being self-sufficient, being able to participate in the entire nuclear value chain. And that's what we see coming out in the scope of this agreement. With those words, honorable members, I'd like to thank you.
final comment to make first, Honourable McCart, Honourable President, Honourable Bunda, go ahead, Honourable Mandela.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, the Constitution makes provision for these agreements to come to Parliament, which is very good, because we have been told that these agreements are all the same agreements. Now, if you look at the agreement, my first introduce says there's the Russian agreement and then there's the rest. Now, you know, these are, these agreements are signed and there are signs that we are going to cooperate. But the Russian agreement says specifically that it's a strategic partnership to build the reactors, while the others are normal cooperation in the development and peaceful use of nuclear energy. Now, this becomes evident when you read Article 3 of the agreement to talk about the scope of the agreement. Here the nuclear oil program features heavily with a specified VVER reactors, which to me indicates the agreement has been made that Russia is the preferred bidder. Although maybe not the end contract has been signed on how much it will cost, but that are the preferred bidder. Now, the signing of that contract to me looks even... the questions arise to me, why are there different formats of the contract? And I said it because there are totally different agreements. And you must please prove me wrong with that, because, you know, to me, an agreement is an agreement, but these totally look totally different. If Russia drew up this agreement and we drew up the list, where did the difference come in? Now, you know, I need to know which scenario of the IRP 2010 to 2030 has been approved by Cabinet, and what is the nuclear component of that? Why are we still chasing the nuclear build program? Cabinet approved IRP 2030 on page 42, figure 30, which says we should not pursue nuclear anymore. Am I reading wrong? Why are we adamant, adamant on bankrupting this country? If the price of IPPs in mid-winter Q4 came at 70 cents a kilowatt hour, as to mid-winter 1, which was 237 cents a kilowatt hour, you know, it's way cheaper than the estimates or of what nuclear might cost. There are prices out there that, that are saying it's going to cost about 120. Now, you know, before you go and buy a car, you do go and look at the price. You don't just say, well, now I need a car and then I will decide on the price later. The price is a very important part of the decision for you to actually buy a car. And I want to be a simple sense that you would know what the costs you are going to buy. And, you know, you also talk about in 2008, nuclear, we pursued nuclear and then it was stopped because there was the international meltdown. What has changed? Are we out of that meltdown or are we still in? I mean, this economy is not growing at the rate that it should be growing. And what has made it now more affordable? Can you please tell us that? And then, you know, I would, the cost, I'm very glad that the minister said that they're going to do a cost-benefit analysis because we need to know what we are getting ourselves into. And you know, Medupi came for a simple reason, decided to build it. Now we are 5 years over over time, 5 years over budget, and of the normal cost would come in, and only companies like Chancellor House benefited from that. And I can see the same thing with this nuclear build program. Somebody needs a lot of money somewhere, and we are going to find that out only after this procurement process is finished. And I'm afraid that that is not good enough. Thank you very much.
I'm glad the minister is back because all my questions are directed to her. First and foremost, Chair, I'm interested to understand when this cost-benefit analysis and affordability assessment were decided upon. We had the Department of Energy provide us with information on their quarterly reports just 3 weeks ago, where various Director Generals indicated, or Deputy Director Generals indicated, that only two studies had been conducted so far on helium. And this was the Economic Benefits to South Africa report, strange, but nothing essentially being done around essentially understand affordability, understand the economic impact of procurement of nuclear in South Africa on the long-term prime path of electricity. And the Director General on the record and stated in the meeting these reports have not been done. So it's interesting that the Minister made his comments in the last 2 to 3 weeks that all of a sudden we're going for an open and transparent process of benefit analysis, affordability assessments. We're very pleased to hear these things, but when exactly did they materialize? Because our own Deputy Director General weren't aware of these reports or that they were being undertaken just 3 weeks ago. So it feels to me like there's some level of confusion between the fiscal head and the administration. Maybe we can clarify how that's happening. The question is rather pertinent because we have comments from Finance Minister Nene just last week stating the following. So on the 24th of August, Mr. Nene indicated that Treasury had only recently gone into the process of assessing affordability and cost. Although he admitted he did not want to speak into the outcome of the Department of Energy, he was concerned about level of affordability. Mr. Nene indicated that he had now, indicating the present tense on the 24th of August, now in sight of a substantial document compiled by the Department that combined various commission studies, which have not been made available to the committee, on financing as well as information gathered from within the countries. Now, I find it interesting that the Department is determining the financing viability of nuclear when they haven't even essentially given us a statement of what is the breakdown of cost. So the Department has come out with a figure of 40 billion, and we all know that that's a load of crock. Frankly, there are key understanding and assessment of what is the working cost of capital instead of building the station, what are the current risks. For example, we know, for example, in Belarus that the cost of their nuclear power stations have increased by 70% in this year alone because of the gaps of their currency. So the figure that the Department is crunching is a figure that was designated from Carl Kugeland and doesn't give us a breakdown of what costs are included. For example, is decommissioning costs included? We know from the German experience that decommissioning costs the same as actually commissioning a station. So we can already level the cost of a station by just surface from 40 billion to 80 billion. What about fuel costs? Are those included? What about waste management costs? In the various framework agreements, we're not quite sure how the measures of waste fuel are being undertaken and if we're going to carry the cost and the risk associated. So I think we need to be clear, when the Minister is talking about a financing model being developed, it has to be developed on the back of some kind of costing, some kind of cost. There must be a price. You can't develop a funding model if you're not addressing some kind of price. So the key question is here, so when exactly was Treasury, when Treasury advisors were participating in this process, considering the steel could cost us 1 trillion rand or more, on basis that 75% of nuclear power stations globally are over time and over budget, we can consider there's a huge significant financial risk to the country, and it seems strange that it's only just been put in at this point. Chair, I'm glad to hear there's an affordability assessment. We'd love to know when this will happen, how it will happen, and whether it will be made public. The Department continually goes on about how it wants to be transparent, but then hides behind a veil of secrecy. A bit of secrecy that is created around conscious information because it's vendor specific or it's commercially sensitive, which is usually problematic. Are we having a transparent process or aren't we having a transparent process? We understand what information will be made available to the public, when and what piece of information will be made available. We can't make decisions on what's going on when we don't know what documents are actually available. Minister, if you can mention NEXA, I'm aware that you're currently sitting on a positive report on NEXA, dealing with issues of mismanagement and critical management issues at NEXA. Could you please indicate when you might be making this document available, what your decision on the back of this document is, and when you might actually be implementing some decisions to deal with the issues at NEXA, considering that they play an important role in our nuclear procurement? Chair, I'll put it to you and to the Minister that the deadlines and the timelines for nuclear are incredibly rushed. The Department has once again reiterated that they want to have the procurement process completed by the end of December 2015. The Minister's comments are subsequently in the media in the last week pushed this to March 2016. I put it to you that in South Africa, it probably takes us longer to procure textbooks and pencils than it does to procure nuclear heat. which in itself is a bit strange and odd. I'd also put it to the new chair that a similar process being followed in the United Kingdom has taken 8 to 9 years just to finalise the regulation around the type of technology that will be used. And yes, in fact, we're planning to wrap it up in 3 months. Sounds a little bit ludicrous and a little bit rushed. Chair, I'd also like to submit to the committee that the continuing lack of timeframes or clarity on timeframes and milestones around this project makes oversight incredibly difficult. The department keeps promising us documents, keeps promising us a transparent process, and it doesn't back that up with any significant kind of commitment to release these reports by this date and will contain this content addressing these concerns that are widely held in the Public Advisory Committee. I'd say on that, I'd probably like to just quote Mr. Bomberg, for example, on the IAEA report, which has been a long-standing bugbear of ours in this committee. I first asked the Minister for the report in February. She promptly had it within a week. It was subsequently then told me that she had not seen much of the document itself and that she actually the Department of Energy didn't have the document. I then referred to the Presidency. I then requested information from the Presidency. They said they couldn't give it to me. I had to submit a PI application, which was then referred back to the Department of Energy. I then subsequently asked the Department of Energy again, please can share with us this very vital information about our assessment of our capacity for nuclear expansion. And again, it was denied by Mr. Mbombo in this case, who then subsequently said in the Sunday Times on Sunday that he would make this report in its entirety available to the public by the end of August. August has come and gone, we still have not seen the report. We're wondering, Jay, what's in the report that we need to tell him. We have very secure evidence from people who have had sight of the report that the report is damning in very specific sections of that with capacity and capabilities around nuclear expansion. We therefore have to ask, why is the department hiding this document? If you're talking about transparent process, transparency means coming to know how ready we are for nuclear expansion and whether it is appropriate at this time. We know there are concerns in national nuclear regulation. We know there are various concerns about our ability to manage nuclear materials safely and securely. We also know there are concerns around nuclear waste management. And yet none of these have been addressed. The Minister likely touched on it today. And yet we're still waiting, Chair. Just to reiterate, this report was supposed to be made available in 2013. And it's still, at the end of 2015, this report is still not to be seen, despite commitments from the Minister and our own Deputy Director General. Chair, I have some questions about the vendor parade. Could the department please explain to us exactly how long each vendor parade was undertaken with each vendor, so which was it, not how many days, and the location of the vendor parade, and the same for all the other vendor parades that have been conducted. We'd like to understand the intensity of the work that was undertaken. And the department also please provide me and other members of this committee in writing with a list of the 18 leader experts who sat on that panel. We'd very much like to understand their skill sets and their political view. Chair, my colleagues have already touched on what we see as a very substantial material difference between the Russian agreement and the other framework agreements. Specifically, I refer to Article 4 of the Russian framework agreement, which specifically refers to technical sites for nuclear with Intel Africa, which specifically refers to Kuba, Hastings, and Buckland Cliff. It's very interesting, Chair, that the Russian government even has this information. This information can only have been provided by one source of African government. And I put it to you, Chair, that this is exactly the kind of example of favoritism that has been provided to Russian procurement that's not available to the other vendors. We can't claim that there's a level playing field and there are clear differences in the agreement, and clearly information has been provided by the state to both the vendors. I've also put attention to Article 4, which talks specifically about official and favorable position for any agreement signed. This, for example, is not included in the framework agreement, and once again, we must wonder why it seems to give certain vendors a particular benefit that is not available to the other players. Again, I'm not sure we're seeing an equal playing field. Chair, Mr. Mbombo has also referred to South Africa wanting to become self-sufficient across the value chain of nuclear. I put it to Mr. Mbombo that obstacles in this agreement would actually prevent us from doing that. For example, South Africa's plan around enriching its own uranium would be put to halt. If you read the framework agreement, the Russians have clearly indicated that none of the new fuel that they supply can be further enriched or enriched without their agreement. So it seems to us that the Russians hold the keys in terms of our ability to expand across the full value chain of nuclear. Chair, we'd also like to understand why, for example, only in the Russian framework agreement is a multi-purpose reactor, research reactor discussed or even placed in there. All of the vendors are able to provide similar technology. We understand the importance of work that NAGFIT does, specifically around medical isotopes. So we have strategic and political strategic benefits in this area. We provide medical isotopes to over 60 countries globally, and we in the DA fully support the need for updated reactors to compete more effectively against other nations. However, why is this not included in any of the assets? It seems like NAGFIT future, which all based around the nuclear research reactor, has been very specifically placed and tasked around the Volatom. So that would understand why NAGFIT has come out quite publicly in support of the nuclear deal, because their future depends on it. But here we have to ask, why are we only wanting to commission a nuclear research reactor from one of the vendors, and why not being discussed in great detail with the other vendors? Finally, just around the processing issue, I find it deeply disturbing that we are still in discussions around three additional framework agreements while we are already discussing these framework agreements. Again, it does not speak to a level playing field, it speaks to huge issues in the process that's been put by the department, the drastic approach of the department. I find it deeply disturbing. We also asked the department why, for example, has the European framework agreement on nuclear cooperation not been included in this. We argue that the agreement has been included in the last 2 years, and we find it strange that this agreement has not been part of this whole process. Again, she just seems like we're favoring certain visits over others. Charles, I'd like to give you that and have some blood questions on the minister's response. Thank you.
Chairperson, we have to distinguish fact from fiction. I cannot run the department based on media reports. So I cannot take decisions based on media reports. Now, we all want to disagree. I was accused of hiding the news. Now he says I'm hiding information. We told you when we signed these agreements that we had more agreements to sign. There are two outstanding agreements. If I let you wait for the agreement to understand and tell you, you will again accuse me of secrecy. So because you are in a hurry to receive information, you tell me the process is compromised, but you are still under tremendous pressure to bring these agreements to the public. If I have to wait for Japan and Canada, I would have been kept the agreements until I complete the signing with Japan and Canada. The agreements are public documents. The Japanese and Canadians have access to the documents. So when they want to present something in an agreement, they could include whatever public information is available. We haven't handed over a dossier to the Russian suddenly. So you know, this perspective is married to the Russians and married to the Russians. So please, we have absolutely made it available. We're making it public. And if you want to talk that you need to pay for Japan, we could have made that available to the Russians. So please distinguish between that and that. When in a budget speech I speak of the end of the financial year, I can't respond to the end of the calendar year. Why does this go from one financial year to another financial year? And the end of the financial year is March. And when we've made commitments on time, everything we are shifting are not going to do the nuclear new build. We will do it. We committed ourselves to transparency when we start this. And that's exactly what we're doing. So if you want the detail of gender parade and the funding model, it is not available. The funding model has been completed. So do I want to bring the discussion on the funding model? We have an auditing company that provided research for us. All that information has been brought together and no one can use the contract information. There's nothing about that in the agreement. So when we are ready, we'll bring it to you. Please allow our time to do our work. Now you realize, and I'm glad to realize, that there are still two outstanding agreements. You asked for these agreements, I thought. You asked for classified information, I don't. And then you sent it back. I was going to give you the classified information. So please, allow us to be transparent, but allow us to do our work. There's nothing you're hiding. Treasury has been involved. I joined this department in 2014, and I received documents Treasury actually participated in the discussion. So Treasury has been involved. And whoever wants to 3 weeks ago, because well, my acting director general, I'd have to see what happened on that day. Maybe it was one of the best days. But certainly, the acting DG does know about the Treasury involvement. I would please ask that you not treat these agreements as if it is the binding model. The agreement is not binding model. So when we ask questions, please allow us to do the binding model too. But could we answer the questions on the agreement? I committed myself to looking at the affordability thereof. That's what we are not going to do nuclear. We need to do nuclear because of the commitments we have made. Our business has made commitments on reducing our carbon footprint. How are we going to reduce our carbon footprint and have base loads if we are not going to do nuclear energy? Yes, we are increasing our footprint in wind and solar energy. We are increasing our IEPs on wind and solar energy. We remain committed to renewable energy. South Africa is one of the 10 top best countries in renewable energy. We're having South African International Renewable Energy Conference in Perth in October. We are committed to renewable energy. I've increased the capacity for us to fast track the renewable energy IEP project. People committed to gas, you will look for gas, you must look for gas. It's an immediate solution to our energy problems. I think our long-term plan, the long-term solution, our energy needs must contain nuclear energy. We also have to revise our pronouncements we have made at COP, was it COP 16? COP 15. We made announcements at COP 14 on reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. So there has to be a balance between base load with coal and an alternative base load capacity. But unfortunately, renewable energy, such as solar and wind, right now do not give us base load capacity. So please, if we have to respond to positions, it's going to take us a long time to suggest that. I'm prepared to suggest I couldn't sign the agreement with Japan. I was hoping to be in Japan, and I don't go on traveling shows. I have to do travel. So my problem is when I'm not in the country and not doing things. But I thought, unfortunately, I got involved with negotiations in South Africa. And again, we do not have a preferred budget. There is no preferred budget. So please, the time frame and milestones, you wanted the intergovernmental agreement, I can shift the countries to give it to you. I couldn't complete the outstanding one, the European Framework Agreement, level of agreement. So time frames, we're working clearly. We are just doubling up our efforts to move on resolving our energy challenges. There's so much we can do about it. from the chair.
Thank you, Chair. This is an international agreement. Will there be information sharing on international best practices in safety and security? Not only now with the signing of the agreement, in the future, best practices developed internationally as well. The intention of the plan is 9.6 gigawatt, 9,600 megawatt. How sure of buying is this that countries who are to get this deal is to fully comply and incorporate and take in God forbid anything that's wrong in South Africa? Now, buying also is radioactive waste management going to be in this agreement. Will nuclear fuel, uranium, be part of this package? What all EIA regulations, I know we've said that we've done some certain tests and environmental impact studies in 2008. Was this again done, locking change, technology change overnight? Was this done again and made available to this oversight committee? This agreement also, what the new generation free technology in this plant, just an honorable minister said that the question was longer, but there appears to be a simple-minded assumption that countries like China or Russia will provide cheap plants and also finance, and this could put this country and our citizens in that risk. Also, the cost that was mentioned by previous members. There's a real risk that South Africa could experience an outright recession in the last quarter and the next financial year. And how would it be financially viable then to justify the normal financial impact on our Australian economy? Also, this is a long-term project with a range of plans which might erode credibility globally, which will make an international project more and more expensive, especially if, in the longer term. Member Honorable Pandala mentioned McGoofy. And then I just want to say, it seems that labor in South Africa seems to be on a destructive path, and it's also a factor to be considered in this. The old rule of economics, supply and demand, as the demand for electricity has dropped to levels unheard of, really, because of the increase in price. And for every 10% increase in the electricity price, there's a 5% drop in demand. Honourable Minister, through you, Chair, I just want to mention also maybe time frame. As we see, we in this country desperately need electricity and more capacity. Since the dark is still 2029, as was mentioned for this nuclear power plant.
Thank you, Chair, that's all my question. Honourable Member. Thank you, Chair. Honourable Member, Chair, I want to reserve my question. First to say that we accept the presentation. I think it is empowering our country. And through industrialization of our economy. Chair, I think people need to accept the reality that South Africa is and is not will not be the same with the South Africa of the apartheid. Because we need to change. And change will remain constant. Because it doesn't bear the acceptance to always lament that we are not moving, we are not moving. But when the initiative comes and the opportunity prevails, then we start to have some, you know, uncertainty about where we are moving and how we should move. And I think this is a time, an opportunity time that we as supporters realize that we have to create our own infrastructure that will sustain our own energy for the increasing generation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Jefferson. I'm attending the Department of Energy for applying the committee an opportunity to engage and consider the international agreements and treaties, because that's one of our main goals as a portfolio committee, and it's amongst our responsibilities. I just wanted to thank the department for that. Minister, you're saying you still have to conclude Japan and Canada. When are you concluding? I think that's what is important for us, or for me as a member of the committee, to understand the timeframes on the conclusion of this international agreement. So the reality of the matter is that South Africa and the ruling party, we are not going to entertain anti-nuclear activities. They are in the UK, they are in Germany, they are all over the country, they are here in South Africa. The opinion on nuclear, and then at the same time they hold degrees in theology, then you become confused. When a theologist would have several opinions on nuclear which are opposed to those who are nuclearists. I'm sitting here, I'm worried that you are going to entertain media, regulations, entertain all these people who provide our public with wrong opinions on issues which are not qualified for. The honorable members here are saying that the nuclear build program is another way of bankrupting the country. The role of the opposition is to oppose even if there is no need for opposition. They are playing their role. They are very good at that. But let's see, Chair, if really South Africa will be bankrupt during this program. One of nuclear physicists and the CEO of Nuclear Africa provided an analysis and some kind of a narrative around the issue of nuclear. And I believe this person because he's quite frank. He says, in his analysis, that the money that will be spent on nuclear, some of it will remain here in South Africa. He mentioned that locally, the issues of water supplies, sewage systems, access to roads, power lines, those will not come from Russia. They will be provided by South Africa. And in that way, some of the money will be remaining here in our country. The prophets of doom consistently, they are misleading the country, putting a price tag of $1 trillion on nuclear build program. Where does this come from? Because the experts on nuclear, they are saying that the total budget for the nuclear build program will spread over about 15 years as this will be built. And three old nuclear power stations with two or three reactor stations, this budget will roll out for 15 years. And here comes an honorable member, which is not qualified like myself, raising opinions from the Stellenbosch Bushmafias here in the meeting, wanting the public to believe that they know these things. I still need to be empowered by these new traditions of our country so that I can understand better the difficulties of this particular nuclear build that we're talking about. People are making prognosis of nuclear build programs, some wanting to investigate this nuclear build program. I'm more interested. How do you investigate a pregnant woman before she delivers? In essence, they're saying that this child that we are carrying is going to be a criminal. Let me investigate this criminal you are carrying before you could deliver in the process of, you know, bearing this child for 9 years. That's what is happening here, Jefferson. Now, I'm worried about these ones who are also mumbling when I'm raising opinions. That's what they do when opinions are correct. They mumble. Chair, these nuclear physicists, they are saying in their narrative that the world nuclear specialists are not laughing at us or ridiculing us. They are watching intently with great respect. Now, I'm quoting this because I want to agree with them. Already we've got Quebec, Jefferson. If this nuclear is the devil, why don't we close Quebec Minister and see how renewable energy will work? People are sitting here saying that we favor nuclear over renewable energy. It's a balance. The president of the country made a pronouncement that we in South Africa, we are for energy mix. And that mix includes nuclear. Now people want to paint a picture of their own opinion, not of the government of this country. Now, I want to agree with the thing that says, let's not entertain media Maltesers, yes, because they are not going to assist us more than four. Minister, in the agreement with Russia, there's a training cooperation deal that says 200 of South Africans will be sent to a nuclear program at Russian Education Institute. Is that still the case? Are we going to have a situation where our own will be trained a part of the investment in terms of skills in our country? Is that still the case? Because we want to reduce and leave everything else of the anti-nuclear interest, because we are not anti-nuclear. Part of the arguments of other countries, I could not find such a cooperation like this deal of Russia. Is there a process where these other countries will assist us to empower our own, so that we don't outsource the skills for future purposes? Because in this process, we must be able to say, among many, we have achieved so much in terms of a qualified nuclear people in our country. We know for a fact, Honorable Chairperson, that these renewables, they are not viable in terms of the base load. But we want to sit here and pretend as if renewables can get to South Africa, you know, for a lifetime. We know for a fact that they can. Now, I want to say, Minister, that the sooner we conclude the processes on nuclear, particularly a nuclear building program, the better. In the process of looking at the funding model, I think in the Europeans, people with the expertise. I know in your advisory council, you've got Dr. Chester Kemp, who is a nuclear physicist. These are the people that should assist us and the country at large to come to a determination the funding and the pricing model on this nuclear program. I know there's one nuclear physicist that wrote some kind of a narrative in one of the newspapers recently. Wrote in those people so that you are able to achieve what you want to achieve and give geologists a church where they can do better. And we can't do anything about the prophets of doom. They will forever be there. Now, I want to urge that before this child you are carrying is created, this one cause you must deliver. Deliver the child, whether the child is premature or what, that's how we use the natural arrangement, so that he or she grows a healthy child. Because we are not going to sit and watch people raising the views of anti-nuclear activists. Because what is raised here is the views of the anti-nuclear activists. We're in Germany. We met with them. Honorable Mankelly fought there with those people. And today is the conveyor belt of those people. I'm worried. I'm worried, Minister. When we're outside the country, in unison, we say we want this nuclear. Kube is waiting for us. We are suffering so much for the country and the neighbor. And we have said to South Africa, we are saying something else because we are opposition. It can't be correct. But in opposition, we remain in opposition. And they're doing their work, and they are doing it very well. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I want to second Honorable Mabuli in noting the arguments and in accepting the report. Thank you.
The minister stated that she was concerned about not knowing where this $1 trillion had come from. And I just as much in understanding where that figure comes from, if I may offer a quotation from her predecessor in 2011, the Melbourne Guardian, where Minister Peters confirms that the nuclear deal will cost in the region of $1 trillion or more at the current exchange rate, and it's not the same exchange rate. So if she's wondering where the figure comes from, that comes from her predecessor, it comes from the agency, and therefore she should not be confused that this is a figure created by the opposition or anti-nuclear activists, of which we are not. Thank you.
So you are not an anti-nuclear activist?
That's interesting.
Okay. No, but you know that enough for that, and won't have follow-up questions.
So it is that the Honourable Ambassador said that, you know, we are no experts. I do agree that this is not easier for dummies. I do research my work well, and I have a goal that I'm trying to fulfill, and I will not let somebody else say that I'm asking stupid questions.
It's a point of order.
On a point of order. Honorable, don't put words on my mouth. If you think you're too weak, you say it so yourself. Don't be afraid, you are stupid. Chairperson, you are allowing members to raise follow-up questions instead of allowing the department to respond to what we raise. Because this is not clarity which we should one of the members. They did not make a presentation yet. So I'm urging you to direct the meeting properly, allow the department to respond, and leave house to house. Thank you.
Mr. Mbam, first.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I'm talking to respond on the matter of skill development and training, whether this is a matter that is also done with other member countries. It is correct, Honorable Mohammed Salah, that 200 South Africans would travel to Russian Federation for training in the nuclear training at different universities and different educational institutions as part of the cooperation that was signed in the memorandum of understanding between the two countries. This program is also already initiated where in addition the Russian Federation has over 10 nuclear scholarships at a master's level in nuclear technology wherein they will take time for South Africans to be trained at the university with a view to assist South Africa to prepare ourselves for the nuclear development program. And in addition, Honorable, we have sent 50 trainees to China, wherein they have undertaken the training and have completed the first phase of the training now in August, and they have come back to the country to apply this, their knowledge in the existing program. And in addition, 250 more South Africans would travel to China to be trained at the various levels of nuclear profession, be it at an artisan level, at a technician level, at a graduate level, at a postgraduate level, also being exposed onto the construction site where they get practical training with an advanced nuclear training in China. So this program is now being rolled out, Honorable Member. And also with South Korea, there has been an existing program where in South Korea takes in South Africans to be trained at a master's level in nuclear engineering. And this program has been ongoing since 2012. And some South Africans have gone to South Korea and acquired the master's in nuclear engineering. And they have come back to South Africa. They are applying their trade in the South African nuclear industry. In addition, there is an existing program with the French, where in the French has offered 14 scholarships to South African to study engineering degrees in different universities in South Africa. The program was offered to previously disadvantaged students. And in addition to that, engineers will be traveling to France to go and have hands-on practical training into the projects that are undertaken in France with a view to assist South Africa to prepare and be ready for the program. And in addition, we are sending students to different countries to make sure that South Africa can be prepared to localize the technology, to be able to operate our nuclear facilities when they've been constructed, and to make sure that we indeed localize the nuclear new build program and be able to assure that the intellectual property for the program is retained in South Africa and indeed the country is industrialized for the benefit of our economic growth. Thank you. Yes, I think Honorable Jefferson, one other question that was raised was the question of the studies on the cost of nuclear. And the cost and the benefits analysis, the economic impact. And it's important to highlight that the department has undertaken detailed cost studies for nuclear power, wherein we've got an independent expert to do the studies for the department and produce the reports. And also, the department has undertaken an independent study on the funding model as well as the independent study on the economic impact of the localization. And all of this work, it's important to highlight that it was the department and other interdepartments that have contributed in the formulation of the terms of reference and also guiding the work. However, what's critical is that this work now comes back to government to inform government in making decisions on the program. And this work has now been engaged between the National Treasury and the department, and as the minister indicated, that a joint technical task team has been established between the National Treasury and the department to look into the funding model of the nuclear build and the risks associated with the program. And that's the work that's now ongoing in order to develop a recommendation for government for when the government has to take a decision on the procurement of the program to inform the decision-making process. So I think it's important to clarify that indeed the department has got the work, and this right now is engaged at interdepartmental level to make sure that it's done by an independent expert. That's what the government now has to formulate its own funding model to take into account the different aspects of our economy. On the issue of fuel costs, well, the fuel cost is addressed, and the issues of the participation of National Treasury, I will clarify this, and the Minister has also dealt with that. On the issue of waste management, it's important to highlight that South Africa has got an established institution to deal with the issue of the nuclear waste. We've got the output, which is a national waste repository, a facility that is taking in low medium waste that is generated by our facilities that we've operated in the country for more than 30 years. And now that we've established the National Hazardous Waste Disposal Institute, this is an institute that will take forward and undertake detailed research in terms of the long-term waste management solution. On the issue of the site, the Honourable Member raised the question that the site being identified in the agreement of the Russian Federation. It's important, Honourable Member, to indicate that the environmental impact assessment has been undertaken by ESCOM since 2006, and this work is public knowledge. In other words, the environmental impact assessment report for ESCOM is available in public, so any member of the public can go into this report and identify which sites are being investigated and where in the process. The process is undertaken by ESCOM, and the sites that have been identified as being investigated are contained in the environmental impact assessment report that is available in public. It's still undergoing processes between ESCOM as well as the Department of Environmental Affairs, but it's public knowledge. So the issue that how did one prospective vendor country got sight of what site South Africa looked at is public knowledge. So any of the vendor countries could, if they wanted to, access this information. It's available on the website. On the issue of the self-sufficient strategic objective for the country has been raised, the honorable member indicated the Russian agreement will impede South Africa's objectives to undertake this. To the contrary, this is not what the agreement will do. Remember, South Africa is a sovereign country, and we engage with countries with a view to advance our own national interests, and our national interest is to ensure that we can achieve the self-sufficient objectives. And when you thoroughly look into the agreement, it allows the cooperation in the area of nuclear fuel cycling. And we believe that the objective of South Africa will be achieved through cooperation with this country, it will not impede South Africa from realizing the international trade chain. And so is our perspective in the countries, because when you look into these agreements, they include an aspect of the nuclear fuel value chain, both the front end and the back end, to a different extent that it should be used for peaceful purposes. And when you thoroughly look into the agreement, provide that the enrichment material will be below the 10% threshold, which is an applicable international limit for use of nuclear technology for peaceful purposes. I've dealt with the issue of why was the SAC not included in other, why is the issue of the EU not included in part of this agreement. I think it's important to highlight to the honourable members that the EU is a bloc of countries that South Africa has signed the agreement. But in this respect, with regards to nuclear, South Africa is looking into a government-to-government agreement. That means country-to-country, not a bloc of countries. The EU agreement deals with a bloc of countries that are involved and have signed the agreement with South Africa. So we're dealing with this agreement in this respect. There was an issue raised today. There seemed to be an inclination to go for cheap technology that is coming from the Russian Federation was mentioned and the Chinese technology was mentioned. It is important for the honorable members to note that the procurement process has not started. None of the prospective vendor countries' technologies have been selected. And when the procurement process has started, South Africa will have its own requirement and it will select a technology based on this clearly articulated criteria that will be followed to select a technology. At this stage, I would say it's too early to start talking about different countries' technologies, because we haven't started the procurement process. Important also to note that the countries we mentioned, these are countries that have got established programs in their countries, and we have seen that these countries also have deployed their technologies into different countries, and these examples of these technologies are there for the world to see. At this stage, as South Africa, we are focusing on the great change for the procurement process, and the technology that has been identified in terms of the South African nuclear energy policy is that in South Africa we will procure a pressurized water reactor, the PWR. This is a technology that the country has got an experience of operating, whereby Kuben is PWR technology is operating. So in all these prospective vendor countries, they all have PWR technology. And South Africa will be finally, when the procurement process is started, selecting a technology, a pressurized water reactor, that would have satisfied the South African criteria of selecting a technology. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Again, South Africa is committed to reducing its carbon footprint. Our President, President Zuma, has made public announcements in this regard. Reducing our carbon footprint will be assisted through our energy mix, and our country will fast track our renewable energy program. However, we have to accept that the renewable energy program is not a true program either. counting the Blue Energy Independent Power Purchase Program, procured and fulfilled over 200 billion and worth of wind and solar. Government manages the Renewable Energy Independent Power Purchase Program. So I still to understand in this research and really large budget for renewables, why we are not saying that we investigate this. It would be good to know why that program is not being investigated and why you don't have fears about this hundreds of billions that are investing for the private sector in renewable energy. And the private sector is responding to renewable energy because government is a power purchase agreement. If the members are aware of any corruption or at this stage or in future, could you please receive it so that we can ask the necessary institutions and organizations to investigate corruption? So we will not wait until we have completed the process. If you have any information about corruption, please bring to the table. We'll ask for investigation. And we'll bring this popular report to the table. Our best practice is just around the corner. The best practice that many countries are coming to for this happens to be in the one of the in South Africa, Uber. The best practice of Uber has so many lessons for our own country. The unfortunate part is that the Nigerians are coming very good to the nuclear power station, and then the Nigerians are coming to South Africa to look at the best practice of Uber. Likewise, Siemens, Ghanaian, and Tanzanian. They've also taken decisions about nuclear power station. So we have learned lessons. When we completed unit 6 of the Dupi, there were several lessons that we learned at unit 6 of the Dupi, which we cannot repeat at units 1 and 5. We, again, I cannot respond to what has been said in the media. I respond to what all of them actually say. And I have asked Mr. Peters about it. And again, it was in the media, so I cannot respond to Mr. Peters as he said this morning. So the media also quotes me as saying many things. I do not respond to what the media says, I will see. If I have to respond to the media saying what I have said, I'll never wake up in the morning. So Minister Peters doesn't have that figure in any formal government document. She even remembers where she was interviewed and the context of where that figure came from. The current generation cost, coal cost us currently, producing coal at 0.78 per kilowatt hour. We are producing nuclear at 0.38 per kilowatt hour. This is baseload and it is available 88% of the time. So coal has been 0.78 per kilowatt hour. Nuclear, Kuber, and others, 0.38 per kilowatt hour. Wind, we are purchasing at 0.68 per kilowatt hour. The wind is available 55% of the time. Solar PV, procuring at 0.87 per kilowatt hour. Solar PV is available 30% of the time. CFC, is it, Dr. Bond? It's, you know, the cut? 3 and 20 per kilowatt hour and is available 50% of the time. Right now, the nuclear energy that is produced in our country is subsidizing the renewable energy. With the current context, in terms of our long-term planning, we have to look at the price of wind and solar PV and CFC comparison to the time that we have available with those power stations. As Mr. Mung said, when we do agreements on training or the development of technical cooperation capacity or competency development or knowledge sharing, our aim one is to be self-sufficient as a country. So after all these years of Google, we still rely on other people who maintain it. So we have learned lessons from Google. Waste storage and waste management, lessons we learned from Google. We need to have Google. Whatever basic practices, the lessons we're learning are in Google. Yes, we go to the algorithm other sites, and I will invite the members to visit other sites, but Google is one of our basic practices that we are using. Knowledge sharing is an arrangement which we formalize and use for higher education, so that whatever training happens is accepted in South Africa. Honorable members, we are discussing the intergovernmental agreement, and when we bring and discuss the procurement, we'll answer all the questions on procurement. So relevant information will be provided by the Department of Energy and National Security once we've completed the relevant process. So we're happy to be dealing with the IGA now. Please bear with me. You should understand yourself. If I didn't bring the agreement, you would say that I'm hiding something. I bring it to say I'm not leveling the playing field. How do I level the playing field if you want the agreement? You wanted the agreement, I gave it to you. So it's disadvantage you said to people. Unfortunately, it could advantage or disadvantage you. But you became very patient with the agreement. I then decided to take on it. At the time, I've asked members to be patient, and that I've signed with other countries, and once I signed with all countries, I will be the agreement. Again, you were impatient, and that's why I then decided to be. Instead of having some agenda created by you, that there is something to write. Chairperson, we'll bring you the details of the reports on NEXA. The NEXA was the Ministerial Council report. It's where the CIEC is labeling the computer system. The CIEC. So once I have the final documents available, I'll be able to bring it to the committee. Thank you.
This is the only thing I want to do now.
I am going to allow you, but please don't abuse me. Just if it's a point of clarity, just ask a cast question.
Chair, this is what I can say. Why you are not allowing us the opportunity to follow up questions on what is a relatively very important subject matter. We have one, I think, at least another hour before committee needs to be adjourned, and we have the minister home from her travels very rarely. We'd love to have a few follow-up opportunities with the minister at the first point of clarity. Chair, please explain us why you're shutting down our opportunity to ask the minister a question. And second of all, neither the minister or Mr. Mom have responded to my questions on the IAEA report or their promises to make it available, publicly available by the end of this month. Again, you should probably message any of them once you address the elephant in the room.
The last part of the room,
neither the minister or Mr. Mbombo have responded to my query on the IAEA report, which they promised to make publicly available, most recently in the media, quoted in the Sunday Times this past Sunday, to make it available by the end of August. August is coming on, Chair.
That has been posed, I would be quite happy that we respond to the question. But Honourable Makai, look at our agenda for today. So we're supposed to finish this meeting in the next 8 minutes before we look at the minister. Minister, do you want to respond to that specifically?
Yes, thank you, Chair President. You were told that the meeting is about the intergovernmental election. So we go to the intergovernmental election. By traveling, I could give you a very solid record of traveling, but even that is a figment of your imagination. You are concerned about my travels, but then you want to know why I haven't signed with the Japanese or the Canadian. So I've invited them here. I can only invite them here to the day of the to come, and I'll have to go there. So you don't need to travel, but you want the Canadian agreement, and you want the Japanese agreement. If I'm traveling, you have a problem. I don't know what I have to do. So I'm doomed by you, and I'm doomed by you. So I cannot respond to your time frame. We brought the IGA, we requested it. Today's meeting on the agenda was about the IGA, which we did. Yes, you ask us about the procurement, we'll bring it. And we'll have a discussion on the IGA report, we'll bring it. We are permitted to transfer.
Check. I see no reason why the minister would respond to the full of the shutting. Can you just wrap up and conclude our meeting? And the minister should stop. The traveling of the minister is not our competence. It's not our competence as a government. So, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that is in order. Please, let's not drop what the minister has responded. Please, the minister.
Chair President, I thank you for this opportunity and good presenting that you take the process forward. Thank
you. Another one, I could say, motion is the second. Honourable Mohammed Sara agreed to. TA would like to have the declaration of the TA would like to have his objection.
I must say that I've been having my hand up already. The question that was about it, and there's one follow-up question I want to ask about what something that the minister said. And it's part of it.
I'm sure you're not going to have I don't speak when you're listening.
I've been putting my hand all the time, but you're copy.
I've seen your hand on our phone, darling. We've got to close this session at this point. And I remember, we don't have a proper discussion on this. Yes, where I understand this. Where on our phone, darling, please. Let's not be agitated. You see, this is what is also made discussing this matter so difficult. We want to deprive South Africans of a rational discussion over this matter because of how we treat it. We have time. We're coming back to this matter. It's not going away. We'll have a discussion. No. I said that in panic. Now, having this press of the Honorable Barkhouse's motion, I have not had the DA's objection. Let me now close this part of our meeting and then stay for consideration of the minutes. Thank you very much.